So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F-35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
Wisconsin's ag industry was already dealing with low commodity prices and tariffs. They didn't need COVID-19, but it's hit Wisconsin's ag industry hard. But we have federal programs and now a new state program designed to give farmers direct aid. So it's June Dairy Month, so I'm especially glad that Randy Romanski, Secretary of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Joe Brager, President of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau, he farms in Buffalo County, Darren Von Ruden, President of the Board of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, can join us. Mr. Von Ruden farms in the Westby area. Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
Well, first let's talk about the $50 million Wisconsin Farm Support Program. Randy, talk about when farmers can apply and the process, and we're going to show the Department of Revenue link that farmers can use. So give us an overview prior to we talking to Joe and Darren.
Thanks, Steve. You were right on when you opened it up and said that farmers had already had some challenging times, and COVID-19 just heaped on top of that. Nobody really could have foreseen the impact that COVID-19 had. But one of the important things that Governor Evers identified is that it was really important to make sure that we could do whatever we could to provide some resources to farmers to help in any way. And so he set aside $50 million for something called the Wisconsin Farm Support Program. And that is where eligible farmers can apply for a direct payment that would be anywhere between $1,000 and $3,500 based on a sliding scale. The application period opened yesterday and it goes through June 29th. So we encourage people to sign up early, get in the queue. It's not a first come, first serve proposition. We want to make sure that we exhaust funding for farmers through this program, but we do encourage people to sign up. I can report that I just got off the phone call, a phone call with the Department of Revenue, and so far in a little over 24-hour period of time, there have been more than 4,000 applications for the program. So we appreciate the fact that farmers are jumping in, applying for the funding. And again, the goal for the governor's program, for the program, is to get some resources out into the hands of farmers, because right now there are a lot of challenges out there because of COVID-19.
4,000 apps already, Randy, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Joe and Darren, why did groups like you and six other groups, including the Cattlemen's, Pork, Soybean, Cranberry, Potato, and Vegetables, why did all of your groups petition for this $50 million? Whoever goes first. Joe, go.
Our farmers, you mentioned when we started, Steve, thank you very much, that agriculture was already in a little bit of a struggle financially here. Dairy and a lot of agriculture have gone through roughly a five-year downturn. So this coronavirus came at absolutely the worst time. Just when we thought we were going to turn the corner, beginning of the year, we had the trade programs going on. Prices seemed like they were going to tick upward. They absolutely collapsed. 35% down in dairy and in beef prices across the board. And that was extra disturbing because we saw shortages in stores when the supply chain was disrupted. So farmers are in desperate need of support. And I think this is a huge step. And I do appreciate very much. I think the takeaway is that this program in and itself won't make anyone whole for the losses, but it speaks volumes of the commitment the governor, the Department of Ag, and the state of Wisconsin has for the farmers that produce the food. So we are very appreciative of the support at this time.
Darren, I may know just enough to be dangerous. When I look up the price of Class 1 milk today, $11.42, which was down per hundredweight, down $1.53 from May. But how does that compare to a year ago? Had milk prices come back at all, sir?
A year ago, we were still at really a low price. We didn't see the higher prices until towards November, December. You know, and then we were looking at having a higher price throughout the year of 2020, and then COVID-19 hit, which, you know, drastically reduced our prices. We were looking at $20 hundredweight milk back in December for conventional farmers, and by mid-March, we were being told or going to see prices in May in that $11 to $11.50 range. You know, the average cost of production in the state of Wisconsin right now is in the $17.50 to $18 range. So if you look at what the actual pay prices is, we're only getting about two-thirds of what we really need.
Well, it broke my heart as a grandson of a state of Ohio dairy farmer to see milk being dumped. Have either of you had to dump milk, gentlemen?
I have not. I'm sorry.
Yep, go ahead, Joe.
I have not. But Darren,
that's
go
okay.
Ahead.
Joe, and then Darren.
All right, I have not, but unfortunately, there were many farmers that had to, and that is very. Besides the low prices, that really strikes a blow to those farmers that are working so hard to provide that quality product only to have to dispose of it. Not because of quality or anything like that. I'd hate for anybody to draw that connection, but simply because they were unable to move it as quick as it needs to move to be fresh.
And Darren?
Have
you had to dump any?
Yeah, no, I have not. We're actually an organic farm, and they've weathered the COVID situation a little bit better than the conventional farms have, but we haven't. But, you know, just looking at, you know, the dumping that had to happen too, you know, it's really a sign of what the way our system is. You know, we're so concentrated on trying to deliver on a day-by-day basis versus having somewhat of a storage capacity that in times of crisis we could use that products in other ways.
Okay. Randy, when I go to the Department of Revenue website, it says that this could apply if you had $35,000 gross income in 2019. So there are some limits, and could you talk about who's eligible? And again, give us the range on payments. Was it $1,000 to $3,500, please?
Yes. So eligible farms are those with a gross income between $35,000 and $5 million based on 2019 tax filings. The amount that they will get in a direct payment will range in between $1,000 and $3,500 based off of their income. One of the important things when we sat down with the groups is the groups have requested $50 million. And the governor fulfilled that request. The important thing for us to do once we identified the amount of money that was requested and available, because it was important to understand what was available, because this money came to the state from the federal government, was to identify how to get it out quickly and to make it as available as possible. $50 million is a lot of money. One of the things both Darren and Joe talked about is there's a lot of economic stress in Wisconsin agriculture right now. There's a lot of need. And the important thing is that we wanted to work with the organizations to set up what made sense for parameters of eligibility. And so this is a number that that we came up with as a result of working with the groups. The important thing was to identify farmers that were still in existence, and try to get the dollars out the door as quickly as possible.
Well, just a quick follow-up, Randy. When do you think our farmers will be, you've got 4,030 apps already. When do you think this will be paid? And is it the traditional process of checks in the mail?
Great question, Steve. I got to tell you, working with the Department of Revenue has been tremendous. They worked with us, they worked with the organizations, they worked with the governor's office to set up this application, which is relatively seamless. The traffic on the site is going well, the application is working. The window is short for application period. So it opened yesterday, it closes on June 29th, 11:59 p.m. So farmers have a 2-week window to get in. And again, the goal with that quick turnaround is to get the dollars out the door, which the Department of Revenue anticipates happening by mid-July. So the turnaround for applying is quick. The turnaround for getting those dollars out the door is quick as well. And the Department of Revenue can establish it that they can distribute the money either via check or an online bank account. So again, they've made that relatively seamless as well. So we're really appreciative of their partnership.
Okay, then a question for Darren and Joe. The pieces of equipment that you gentlemen buy as farmers cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Pardon my naive question, but what difference would a maximum $3,500 make this spring? Darren, you want to go first?
Well, you know, it certainly helps. You know, it might pay a vet bill instead of buying a piece of equipment. Hopefully the equipment is in good enough shape that we can continue to use it, but the vet bill might need to be paid or the feed mill might need to be paid. So, you know, on smaller farms, average size farms, that certainly helps with that process.
Joe, your thought, please.
Oh, certainly. I mentioned before, this in and itself will not make farmers whole. There's also federal programs, the coronavirus food assistance program that's available, and other sources to help support farmers as well. During this time and even leading up to this, we were starting to see a lot of stress in agriculture, increase in suicides, depression. All of that really takes a toll, and for farmers to know that the state of Wisconsin backs them as well and considers them of value to society and to our economy, I think there's also something that has to be recognized there, because at this point, farmers need support from multiple levels, and that's what's appearing. If I could, I'd like to toss something out quick that I think we cannot overshadow the fact that Randy, I don't think the Department of Ag has really worked through such a program before, and the time and the speed with which it was done is somewhat historic.
Please, Randy.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, in fact, this we don't have we don't typically have this kind of funding available that comes through our agency. Nobody can recall ever pushing these kind of dollars out the door. And that's why it's really important that we develop partnerships with the organizations that were engaged in the discussion and with the Department of Revenue. You know, organizations like the Federal Farm Service Agency regularly push out millions of dollars to farmers through programs, and the application period is well known. There's a system in place. We don't have those systems in place because we don't usually handle this kind of money. So we did need to set it up relatively quickly. We appreciate the groups engaging in that discussion. And again, Department of Revenue has really made this seamless, and it couldn't have been done without them.
Joe and Randy, both of you mentioned the Federal Coronavirus Food Assistance Program. If a Wisconsin farmer applies and gets benefits under that federal program, can they get a benefit under the State Farm Support Program? Randy?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can qualify for both.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Yep. And Darren and Joe, go ahead.
I'm sorry, guys. I think as Joe mentioned earlier, the funding that we have available through the Farm Support Program is not meant to make anybody whole. It's meant to be a bridge to when the federal funding becomes available. The federal funding, the window on that is much, much larger. Our window is 2 weeks. The application period for the federal government, the Coronavirus Assistance Program, runs from May all the way out through August. So as farmers are applying to that process, the funding that's available through the program that Governor Evers set up will be a bridge to help get some dollars in their hand, as Darren said, maybe pay a vet bill, help out with some costs on the farm in the interim. Joe, is there anything that I missed there?
No, I think you hit it very well. You know, when I talk about stress in the countryside, I've gotten the phone calls from the farmer that doesn't know if he can pay his electric bill this month. And so we're in dire need, and we talk about a bridge to other funds. The other thing that I'd like to talk about is I think 10 minutes to fill out the forms or the application for this program and even the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, tremendous amount of support from FSA in helping farmers fill those out. So whether it's local or national, very easy to fill many of these forms out, and very supportive people.
Darren, can you talk about the relationship between the federal and the state program, please?
Well, I think Joe and Randy have covered it rather well. You know, there's all farmers are eligible for all of them that meet the income guidelines, you know. So we've applied for our federal and actually got the check there already. So, you know, we'll be doing the same here at the state once we get around to it now that we're done with the haymaking and spring planting. Got some time over the next week to get that done.
And it's important to say that both the federal and the state programs are grants. They're not loans. They don't have to be repaid. Do I have that right, gentlemen?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay. What about the $50 million? You two gentlemen lead statewide trade, important statewide trade ag groups. Do you foresee, I know you don't know the future, none of us do, but do you foresee coming back and asking for some more aid in the future here?
A big thing that's going to happen is how does this corona play itself out? Things are looking like going further into the year, they could be improving. Could we have widespread outbreaks? Could we have basically a round two? More disruption to the markets, it's impossible to say. But we also recognize that the state has limited dollars. And the state is struggling in some regard because of decreased revenues, almost as much as some of the farmers out there. So we recognize the difficulty and the hard choices that were made in order to support agriculture.
Well, Randy, have you heard any talk about round two of the state farm support program?
I think Joe is correct. You know, Steve, you're an avid budget watcher, and you've probably seen the tea leaves get unveiled with the response to COVID-19. The state income, the state coffers have also been affected. DACAP and other agencies have had to already do a 5% lapse for this fiscal year. My guess is there are some austerity measures in place as we look ahead to how the state agencies respond. But I guess I would echo what Joe just said. I just got off a conference call with some ag lenders today where we were talking a little bit about what's the future look like. And the milk price, it's June dairy month. The milk price is taking a jump up this month. There are a variety of factors that play into that. Obviously, opening trade markets certainly play a role in that. Some of the food assistance programs getting dollars and dairy products and other food to the food insecure certainly helps a little bit. And all we can do is look forward and continue to work in partnership with everybody involved and then look at what the economic factors play out, like Joe indicated. And the hope is that milk prices and other commodity prices will start to climb out of this and hold strong. So as far as, you know, the funding that's, the state doesn't have the kind of funding available to do another round of this. I will, however, say, Steve, that Senator Tammy Baldwin has been also on our stakeholder calls with these gentlemen and their organizations and others. And through listening to what she's heard from agriculture in Wisconsin, she's introduced a bipartisan, bicameral proposal called the Farming Support to States Act. It just got rolled out recently in Washington, D.C. It's strongly supported by the National Association of the State Departments of Agriculture, which covers State Departments of Agriculture all across the state. And that proposal looks at what a next round of federal funding might look like for addressing needs that are occurring in states. And the valuable thing about that is we've read it, Steve, is that it's flexible. Where it would give the dollars to the states and then they could use it to address the impacts that they've seen in their state. So how Wisconsin would roll that funding out if it passes would look different than how New Mexico would or how Georgia would, but it's targeted specifically to agriculture. And that would be, you know, down the road, a potentially valuable way to look at as we get through response to COVID-19 and we look towards recovery from COVID-19, what additional resources does our state need, do Joe and Darren's organizations need, and all the farmers across the state, to strengthen supply chains long term? What can we do to make investments in that system so that we don't get so dramatically affected by these circumstances beyond our control, shall we say?
Okay, now we've talked about the federal coronavirus food assistance program, and that's $16 billion, and we've talked about the Wisconsin Farm Support Program, and that's 50 million. But what about the Food Security Initiative? That's an additional 15 million, right, Randy? And then you have the federal Farmers to Farm Food Box Programs. So I guess my question is, Joe and Darren, you've talked about how you're going to participate in both the coronavirus federal program and the state farm support program, but are the food insecurity programs, these additional two, going to help farmers and members of your two groups?
Certainly. One of the things that I think we all have to recognize is that the coronavirus there are very few people that have not been, and very few industries that have not been affected by coronavirus. You know, when we talk about Wisconsin, oftentimes dairy comes up, but the ethanol producers, with the reduction in travel, started out with a little bit of a fuel war, but how travel has been cut has hit them tremendously in their prices. We have consumers, people laid off, unable to get basic necessities, making food purchases available by the federal government, helping with food banks. And we've done some work here, even in Wisconsin, in making, I cannot be more prouder of our farmers who have stepped up as tough a times they have to make donations to food banks, to provide milk, cheese, dairy, you name it, the gamut of agricultural products, even though they're struggling. I think that anytime we move products to consumers and the people who need them, the farmer benefits as well. Everyone wins.
Okay, so Darren, Wisconsin yes. residents, whether or not they're on the farm or not, have a understanding and support for the plight of the ag industry?
Oh, I certainly think so. You know, talking with our friends from Milwaukee and the larger cities in the state, you know, they're really keeping an eye on what's going on in the farm, because they realize that if there's no food on the shelves, farmers are not out there in the countryside. And then vice versa, if farmers are, you know, really struggling and we're going out of business at a rate that we are, you know, how long is the food really going to be on the shelves for them? And I just want to say too, to Randy or to Joe's comment on, you know, what farmers have done for the food shelves and the food banks around the state. You know, we've done donations through Farmers Union too. And at a time like now, when the consumer really doesn't have the ability to go out and purchase and they need that help, it's one of those things that farmers usually, and we tend to help our neighbors out whenever in need. And I think COVID-19 has certainly pointed out the likelihood that we want to help each other out in this process.
Randy, the Food Security Initiative, that's 15 million. That is separate from the 50 million farm support program, right?
That is correct, Steve. Yes. So
okay.
In addition to the $50 million that the governor made available for the Wisconsin Farm Support Program, there's $15 million for the Food Security Initiative. And the important breakdown there, and both Joe and Darren alluded to it, is the importance here is connecting, it's a know your farmer, know your food component that we're looking at here. It's making sure that we're reinforcing the fact that we're fortunate to live in a state where there's agricultural production and processing happening all around us. The gentleman on the screen with us here, their organizations and so many across the state of Wisconsin are working every day to feed us and the people of the United States and the world. And so it's important that when challenges like COVID-19 happen and there becomes, so what do you get with that? You get disruptions in the supply chain. We already talked about milk disposal there. In other states, they've had to euthanize animals instead of sending them to market. That's a dramatic change. And consumers have a hard time grasping the fact, wait a minute, how can we say that there's too much milk and it has to be disposed of, and yet I go to the grocery store and I can't find milk or dairy products in the grocery store? Well, one of the things that we did at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection right away was we established some partnerships. Joe and Darren have both talked about how their organizations have been really generous in donating to food insecurity systems. That's true, and it's true across the board in Wisconsin. We developed an early relationship with Hunger Task Force of Wisconsin and the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, where we found a way to link dairy fluid milk and dairy products to the Hunger Task Force to get in their food insecurity system. And the great thing about that was they were paying for the product. So at this really challenging time, farmers were getting paid for their product. And it was a great way to tell the story about how that milk that might go to your grocery store or to the food pantry might be from the farmer down the street. Know your farmer, know your food, connecting the dots between farmers and consumers. So the governor's program of $15 million takes two steps. Step one is it gives a pot of $5 million for smaller food banks or food pantries that have to make adaptations to how they do things as a result of COVID-19. So is there additional refrigeration needed? Do they need to set up a drive-through system? Do they work on a delivery system? Those kinds of things that wouldn't have been contemplated before COVID-19 hit. And the second part of it, $10 million, will go to do the best it can to connect Wisconsin food, Wisconsin-produced food, to Wisconsin consumers, in this case, the Food Insecurity Network. And we're going to build off of the relationships that have developed as COVID-19 has happened. So we're hopeful that that will not only help feed people in need, but it will continue to support Wisconsin farmers.
Joe and Darren, prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, so much debate about the complex issue of tariffs. Have the tariffs issue largely been resolved, or are they still looming out there? Darren, please first.
I believe they're still somewhat looming out there. You know, it the phase one deal with China has kind of started, and then it stopped, and now it's starting again. And with the language between the two governments, sometimes you don't know what's going on. So, you know, I think they've come back a little bit, but I don't know that they're completely gone yet.
Any PS on that, Joe? Tariffs.
The tariffs, we still have work to do. Again, the excitement that this year started out with certainly has been overshadowed by COVID once again, and many of the things ended up slowing down or taking a little back seat to what needed to be done, whether within the United States or globally in dealing with COVID. So we're looking for ramping up of those activities again as everything gears up, and let's see how that goes.
Okay, we got just a few minutes left. Two final questions for both Joe and Darren, and then one final for Randy. Joe and Darren, what most concerns you about the next 3 months? Look out, 3, 4, 6 months. What signs of hope do you see? Joe, do you want to go first? Most concerns and hopeful.
Again, a concern for us is there going to be a resurgence of COVID that once again would prompt more restrictions or bring that into play and further disruption. The other thing that, you know, while this price was going on, and there was a lot of prediction of milk being $9 for a long time, you know, and then we've had some farmers in fear of that locking in considerably lower prices, and now the price has climbed somewhat, leaving them on the other side of this price thing. So, you know, hindsight is 20/20, right? But when you're in the moment, you're trying to deal with as best as you can that time. So I think, you know, while prices move up, those prices are still not going to be shared by everybody as a result of the extreme fluctuation we've seen.
And Darren, I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
Darren,
go ahead Steve. Yep.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean to cut you off, Joe. Darren, your biggest potential concern and sign of hope that you see?
Well, I agree with Joe. You know, the biggest concern really is if we have a reoccurrence in more cases, you know, with the reopenings that we're starting to see some of that in some states. So if it gets to be a bigger national problem, you know, we could see a downturn in commodity prices again. I hope that doesn't happen. But when you look at the cancellations of major sporting events again, you know, a lot of different events around the state of Wisconsin here are being canceled throughout the summer months because of the COVID-19 interests. But, you know, I think the probably the positive is how we as citizens of the state of Wisconsin, United States, are really pulling together and trying to beat this thing. And if we continue to use the proper protocols that are needed, such as masks and hand washing to beat the virus, hopefully we can do that and have a good fall.
Okay, Randy, we'll give you the last word. Biggest worry, sign of hope, sir.
I think I would agree with both Darren and Joe. You know, getting through coronavirus and doing so in a way that we don't lapse back is really important. I've heard the governor say this: we want to get through this, do it right, do it once, so that we don't lapse back. So it's really important that that we focus on that, and it's something we should be aware of. The way we talk about it at the department is that we're all in this together, and by us, I mean our agency, other state agencies, our partners at the state level with the agriculture organizations and trade groups, and our federal partners. We're all in this together. So I guess I'll borrow a page from Darren and say we need to go at this together and work together. And the other concern is, you know, whether we continue on this path of reopening, or if there's a little bit of a bubble because there's a recurrence of COVID-19, which we all do not want to have happen. We look at international markets. It's really important to Wisconsin's economy. We've talked a little bit about trade and the USMCA agreement between United States, Mexico, and Canada takes effect July 1st. We're optimistic because Canada and Mexico are such strong trade partners of ours that we can start to make some ground. Darren talked a little bit about China, and Joe expressed some concerns too of, you know, what happens there is important because China is another important trade partner. So we have to look at the international marketplaces and what happens around the world in relation to Corona. As far as optimism goes, you know, I would say that I'll also go back to we're all in this together. We have we at the department focused on COVID-19 and viewed our role during a pandemic to say we're going to do everything we can to support the industry that we partner with and keep food on the shelves in the grocery stores. And one of the things that we learned along the way is it's important to have everybody have a seat at the table and make sure that everybody's coming to work and provide solutions. And credit to these gentlemen, their organizations, and all the other stakeholders that we've worked with, Steve. We've really seen the world of agriculture come to put its resources to bear to work together. And I think I look at that as a positive moving forward. That collaboration and working together to support Wisconsin agriculture. Agriculture is a $104 billion industry in the state, and some people don't realize that. It's extremely important to our state's economy. Supports a lot of jobs, supports a lot of families. So I think we have a strong core infrastructure here. We have good partners who are pulling the rope in the same direction. Our agency views itself as a resource to the industry, and our goal is to support the citizens of the state. And that's my optimism looking forward. We've got good partners to keep going forward.
Okay, and let's end the show this way. We're going to put up the link to the Department of Revenue site to how to apply. But Randy, one more time, what's the deadline? Because it's a pretty short window to apply for up to $3,500 under the Wisconsin Farm Support Program. What's the deadline?
Yeah, the Department of Revenue website is available for applications through 11:59 p.m. June 29th. 11:59 p.m. on June 29th. So we encourage farmers to apply as soon as possible.
Wisconsin I wants to thank Randy Romanski, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Joe Brager, President of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau, holding up the milk, and Darren Von Ruden, President of the Wisconsin Farmers Union Board. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.